Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Stoney, you and I have pretty cool jobs, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And one of the coolest things we get to do right now is sit in the studio with one of the most beloved athletes in the history of this city.
That was a topic earlier this year, right?
I remember.
The most beloved athlete in Detroit.
And if there's a guy more beloved than our next guest, it's a very short list, and it includes maybe Steve Yzerman, maybe Barry Sanders, and it may be a three-way tie for first. The Hall of Famer Alan Trammell is here on 97.1 The Ticket. Tram, good morning. It's an honor to see you. Honor to have you here. Thanks for the time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I can tell you this, that the stories do get better when you get older. I can tell you that. But I appreciate the compliment. Obviously, this is a special place for me, and always very special to come home. And you know what? This weekend we're reminiscing and we're talking, some old stories, but they never get old. They really don't. Winning and seeing your ex, your old teammates, never gets old.
I asked this to Jack, and he said everybody. I'm going to ask you to be more specific. Is there one player who you're going to see this weekend who you haven't seen in a really long time that you're looking forward to seeing the most?
Yeah, Chet Lemon. Chet Lemon will be here on Saturday. And, he's a busy man. You know, he's
youth baseball,
yes, the juice. And he's been doing this for quite a while, but he was not here at the 30th. But he is coming for the 35th, and I think there'd be a lot of guys that would say Chet because, again, we have not seen him for a while.
And we also asked Jack this question the other day, and that is, when did you know about the 84 team? He said, 83, I think, good 84 was going to be.
Because he said you guys took care of Baltimore so easily in 83.
Well, they ended up winning the World Championship. We were on their heels. We were chomping at the bit. You know, it's easy to say that now, but we were getting ready. And you're really looking at 82 when Milwaukee won and they got to the World Series. They won the American League. But we were hit neck and neck, and they beat us late in the season. And, they got into the playoffs and then went to the World Series, lost to the Cardinals. But so we were kind of going through the baby steps, the growing pains. We had lost enough. We were starting to get a little ticked off. We were starting to mature. And going into spring training, I think we felt very good about our chances. Obviously, nobody could expect us.
Right.
Or we never expected. I mean, I call it like Nintendo-ish, 35-5, 17 in a row on the road. I mean, come on. You can't even dream that up.
No. And someone was saying earlier, our producer, Tom, one of those losses was a 19-inning loss. Is that right? 35-5, so... Is that
wow.
What he's, yeah.
You know,
it should have been 36-4, really.
Yeah, well, just to fast forward this a little bit. Okay, we know we're 35-5, and we go up to Seattle. We actually set the American League record in Anaheim, and we got a standing ovation. So we're finishing the trip off by going up to Seattle. And at that time, they were one of the worst teams in baseball, if not the worst team in baseball. And you know what happened? We got swept. I'm saying that's baseball.
That's baseball.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Again, you can't take anything for granted. And we went up there and they whacked us three games and we got humbled a little bit. And, obviously we weren't going to continue at that pace, but I'll never forget that. But, that's how it happened.
We're talking to Alan Trammell here on 97.1 The Ticket. It's the 35th celebration this weekend starting tonight. There's a Q&A with Tram and Lou and our friend Dan Leach at the Big Cat Court before the game. And then tomorrow's the big festivities at 4:10. It's Sparky Anderson bobblehead night. Sparky, of course, passed away. What, we always debate the role of a manager in baseball and what he means. And some teams seem to kind of manage themselves. What did Sparky mean to that group of guys, especially young guys coming together? I mean, Gibby's talked a lot about it. What did Sparky mean to that team
year? You made a good point right there. And I'm using that as far as in 84, we policed ourselves. Mm-hmm. But it was the prior years that Sparky had set the tone. And when he was the tough love and he mentored us. But then as we were, in the 84-ish year and we were getting off to the good start, there wasn't as much for him to do. He sometimes, like he would say, it's a sign of a good manager is when to stay out, knowing when to stay out of the way. And so, you know, we were rolling and but I'm going to be honest with you, at least in my opinion, he meant a great deal. Mm-hmm. There was no question that he was the captain of the ship. But again, prior to that, he had done more of his work to kind of mentor us to get to that point. And we knew how to play baseball. And I'll, you know, again, I've said this many times, but I'm very appreciative that during our era, and I know, you know, you get caught up in your time, but we were taught how to play the game of baseball. And I'll never forget that. Very appreciative.
Is that why? Because he was so good at mentoring you guys when you were young that when you got to a certain level, it was fine with you guys, but the few younger guys on your team, like Howard Johnson, he allegedly didn't get along so well. Maybe that didn't translate.
There's true. So there's not a perfect, it's not a perfect world. It's not going to fit for everyone. And unfortunately, Hojo was not quite part of that group with the Lou and Jack and Gibby and myself and Dan and Rosie and Brookie. And I'm missing a few guys, but kind of that core. So Hojo kind of came in the next wave. And, we were looking to win that year, and Hojo was just kind of just starting.
Right.
And Sparky didn't tolerate mistakes. Now, a few years before, we all made mistakes, and we were corrected. And so there was that tough love there. But, Hojo, unfortunately, in the World Series, even though he was a part of our team, and he's here this weekend, which I'm very glad to see Hojo. He wasn't part of the World Series part. Marty Castillo really played more third base during the series. So, but Sparky, I'm gonna fight this a little bit. They talked about Sparky not being good with young players, and I scratched my head and I'm chuckling. It's like, well, what were Jack and Lance and myself and Lou and Gibby? We were all young, and he took us and he molded us. So I just kind of chuckle at that because, again, there's no perfect world. It's not going to work for everyone. But I think he did a pretty damn good job.
We were talking earlier this morning about, favorite teams that have won championships here in Detroit. And one of the reasons 84 stands out is because you said 35-5. Right. I didn't grow up in Michigan, but I liken your team to the 85 Bears. I thought that was the best team in the 80s, the 84 team. And so then the question obviously is, why wasn't there an 85 or an 86?
Yeah.
And the answer to that, I'm guessing, is going back to your original thing, is that's baseball, right?
It is, and it's hard. One of the reasons why we didn't win was me. And honestly, I did not have the year. And if you think back, 5 days after we won the World Series, and this is just being truthful, I had a labrum tear, and I had hurt my shoulder right before the All-Star break. And so I labored somewhat. I had a labor tear, but I labored for the second half of the season. And so I was in and out of the lineup, and Sparky used to rotate the DH and things, but my arm was bothering me. And 5 days after the World Series, I had my shoulder scoped.
You were still World Series MVP.
I was, but my shoulder was bothering me. And I also had a knee issue that at the same time. So Dr. Andrews, this is going back into October of 84, Dr. Andrews.
Whenever you bring Dr. Andrews in, that's not good.
Yes, I had a labrum tear. So this is the middle of October. I have the surgery, and then I'm ready to go for the season. Now, I say that. I was a little behind in spring training, and I was ready for opening day, but my arm was not the same. I didn't play the way I was capable, and it took me a while to get that back. Had more of the dead arm, and it just not so much that it hurt, but I was part of that. But probably the real reason is that Toronto was knocking on the door now. Boston was becoming good again. And the American League East was a beast.
There was a different team every year. But in 87, what you guys pulled off, and you, who, I'm not saying this because you're here, got ripped off for the MVP by George Bell, but kind of like maybe took the Twins for granted a little bit in the playoffs.
Well,
you should have won that. I remember covering that Metrodome was one of the loudest buildings.
Oh, it was.
It was sick.
You remember that. That's as loud as I've ever played in. No question about it. It's not, you know what? It took so much out of us. And again, this is going to sound like the excuse. And I don't want to take anything from the Twins because they beat us 4-1. It wasn't like, we were really, really close. They took it to us.
Right.
They got all the 2-out hits. And I remember the game one. In the Metrodome, we had taken a 4-3 lead in the eighth, top of the eighth. And in the bottom of the eighth, there was a walk, and then there was a fly ball in left center that Gibby and Chet lost in the baggie at the Metrodome. And you guys all know about the Metrodome and the white. It's like a cloud up there, and it happens, and that happens. And it ended up they ended up getting two runs there, beat us 5-4 in game one. So you're thinking, if you can get game one, who knows? Can't play that what if game. But I'm just stating what happened, and they ended up, you know, getting momentum. And because of the way the rules were back in those days, is that it rotated the World Series, American National. Right. They had the home field advantage against the Cardinals. They didn't have a good record going in. The Cardinals should have had the home field advantage. So they won all four games in the Metrodome. Yep. But again, I'm sounding like I'm, they earned it. They won. They only won 85 games that year. They did not deserve home field advantage that year. But that's just how the rules were at that particular time.
I've got a question.
So,
when you meet with fans, what do you hear from them the most? I mean, are people just running up to you and thanking you because that team meant so much to so many people?
Yes. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, there's most of it obviously is compliments. I mean, a World Series, my gosh, what is there negative to say about that? But it's just a time in their life. They think back, where were you and where they were in their lives. And it means a lot. And you know, just now fast forwarding, you know, last year with Jack and I being inducted into the Hall of Fame, I really believe for me, it makes me, it's a kind of a reward for the fans, because I think the fans, hey, I did want to get into the Hall of Fame, but I was going to be fine one way or another, regardless. But for us to be elected now, it's a reward for our fans who are, again, you know, going to get into the argument, which are the best.
Right.
Our fans are at the top. You know, whatever. We're one of the top sports cities in the United States. I'll take that to the bank.
He's Alan Trammell. He's a Hall of Famer. He's part of the 35th celebration this weekend. It all starts tonight before the Tigers take on the Nationals. There's a Q&A with Tram and Lou. It'll be at 5:45 at the Big Cat Court in the stadium. And then, of course, tomorrow, the 4:10 start at Sparky Anderson Bobblehead, courtesy of Cooper Tires. First 10,000 fans. The gates open tomorrow at 2 o'clock, so you want to get down early for that one. And then Sunday at 1:10, I believe a guy named Max Scherzer is pitching in that game. If you'd like to ask a question of the great Alan Trammell, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Or on the ticket text, you have a question for Tram. Like, for example, this one. Alan, Chuck in Knoxville, did you ever swing at a first pitch?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know if you were known for taking, like did who was no. it? Didn't Wade Boggs always take the first pitch? I always thought that
He did. Yeah. He did, and maybe too often. But I'll give you a little something. Lou calls me when we see each other. He calls me the ambusher. And that came from Gates Brown, our hitting coach at the time. And that's exactly what that is jumping somebody. So there was a time and the place, and that's kind of how we were taught from Sparky. But sometimes I would jump that first pitch, and that's where that ambusher would come in.
Because you knew it was going to be a fastball down the
middle,
right?
That's what I was hoping for. Right. Not always, yeah. But you know, I was ready for it. But that was Gators. You know, it taught us that sometimes you have to be aggressive. So, there's a time and the place. If the pitcher just had a rough inning and you come up to lead off the inning, you don't want to swing at the first pitch. You want to give that pitcher maybe a little more time, and you got to kind of suck it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to take a pitch and give them a little break. But there's other times you can ambush.
You were one of the few who owned Roger Clemens.
Oh, wow. That's
strong, but you had pretty good success against him, right?
We have Cody Clemens, his son, and somebody mentioned that in spring training. And I'm like, whoa. I had some success.
Yes.
I will say that. I did have some success. But own, that's a whole nother.
I did.
I enjoyed, to be honest with you, just the competition of going against the best. And that's just how I viewed things. It's like, you know what? I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm going to go up there, and obviously I'm going to do my best. But it fueled my fire just a tad more.
I always love asking players who played a long time this question. It's along the lines of what Stoney just said. Was there a pitcher who owned you that you remember, like, whatever reason? And then was there a pitcher like Clemens who you just felt for whatever? And because sometimes it's not always, you know, it's not necessarily, Roger Clemens who owned you. It could be a guy who was more of a middle talent guy. Just for whatever reason, the numbers weren't there.
No question about that. And I'll Nolan Ryan is a guy that I know I got a few hits. I was never comfortable, especially early in my career when I first came up. He was still with the Angels. He was blowing 100 with a darn good curveball. But I say this, and you play against everybody, you're a regular player, and you're playing against everybody, as I just mentioned, that when you're hot, you don't mind facing anybody, and when you're not, they could roll it up there and you have a hard time. And seriously, I mean, it's just how it works sometimes.
All right, let's go to the phones. Some fans want to talk to you, Tram. Here's Marcus in East Point. Marcus, you're on with Alan Trammell.
Hey, hey, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, Marcus. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you for asking. And my question was, and I know I've heard you say this many times in the past, that you felt like, or at least you hoped that Lou Whitaker would have went into the Hall of Fame with you. I know that was your hope through all the years. But now that I believe his regular vote time has passed, do you think he'll still have that opportunity to go into the Hall of Fame? Do you think is the holding back point?
Yeah, well, that last part is a very good question. But I am hoping, and I have I stand by what I've said numerous times. I was hoping that Lou and I would go in together, and I'm not trying to say that going in with Jack I wasn't honored, because I was. I just thought Jack would have got in out of any of our group long before, and I thought the Lou and Tram story, I still think it's a great story, and we should be in there together. And what's been holding Lou back is a darn good question.
A mystery.
And I think that I've tried. You know, I talked and I meant it, every word of it, in my Hall of Fame speech, mentioning Lou, because we go hand in hand. We came up the same day. That I'm hoping that this year he's back, or could be back on the ballot. He's got to get back on the ballot from the Veterans Committee, the Modern Game Era group. And I'm hoping that later this year in the fall, when they put that together, that he'll first get on the ballot and then go from there. But I really believe that someday he will be in the Hall of Fame with myself and Jack.
All right. Alan Trammell versus Roger Clemens. He hit 364 against him. Two home runs, 14 RBIs with an OPS of 9.52. You owned him.
Well, I mean, if you want to, I get the, I had success. I had success. It's amazing what you can Google right now.
I know,
you can just right at the at your fingertips.
It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, again,
how much better would you have been if you had analytics and could look at videos?
That's a good question. Information is good, but as I talk about to our younger kids, it says the combination information, but never lose sight of watching the game with your own eyes and having the feel for things. So there's the combination for me.
Hit
the ticket.
You hit 310 on the first pitch too.
I was an ambusher.
Look at you.
You mentioned the kids. Now your job right now is the farm system. Is there hope with the positional players? We know about the pitching. Believe if they stay healthy. Unfortunately, Mize and Perez are hurt right now. But what's down there?
There is hope.
Okay.
There is hope.
Tell us.
I mean, it hasn't. I mean, to this day, on what is today? June
28th.
It probably hasn't started off quite like myself or anybody else really was hoping for. But I go back to the 84, and you couldn't have scripted this that year any better. But oftentimes, and most of the time, baseball is not a script game. You can't write things down and say, oh, this is exactly the way it's going to go. I mean, going to our big league club with Matt Moore and Tyson Ross and Josh Harrison and Jody Mercer, those were our stopgap guys for a year.
Fulmer getting hurt, too.
And Fulmer, exactly. Yeah. And we're probably missing somebody else. But the point is that we don't have the depth, and how can you with what we've done, rebuilding? We were hoping, again, the guys would fill in and do the job. And in spring training, we thought that was going to happen. And unfortunately, they have all gotten hurt. We've rushed guys up to the point where maybe they're not the answer. Maybe in 2 or 3 years from now, they're not here. We'll see. But as far as on the farm, just looking of late, Daz Cameron hasn't had the kind of year to this point. But the other day, he got 4 hits. Swinging a bat, and maybe the second half, maybe the light comes on, the weather, obviously, again, not to make excuses, but a fact, a lot of these kids aren't quite used to playing in that kind of, they have to adjust. That's part of the deal. In West Michigan, the Parker Meadows and the Wenciel Perez have not gotten off to the greatest starts, but they're performing better now. West Michigan now has won 3 games. Our draft with Nick Quintana, our second-round pick, and Andre.
He hit a home run the other day.
Exactly. Lipsius. He was our third-round pick. They've picked it up a little bit. I just came back from Connecticut. I have not seen those two that I just mentioned in West Michigan. I will down the road, but in Connecticut, there was a half a dozen of our players that we just drafted that just came in over the weekend, so I got a chance to see them a couple of games. They're all bigger, stronger. They're all college guys. We went very heavy on the college. And I think that was by design. I mean, I don't know that verbatim, but I just think that we're looking for guys that can get up there a little bit quicker. So we do have some players. We do. It's not happening exactly, as I mentioned, the way we all want it. We all want it to happen, including me. We're not the most patient people. But the fact of the matter is we're going to have to be a little more patient, and it's going to take another year or two.
Tram, you obviously managed the Tigers as well through a tough time. And obviously 2003, we were making some comparisons to this team. How did you handle that, and how is Gardy handling it from what you've seen? Because it's just tough, and right now they're just stuck in it. And
Who wins between the 2003 team and this
well,
team?
No, but I mean, how do you keep the locker room? How do you keep the focus on going out there every day and playing ball? I mean, it is still supposed to be fun, but it can't be very fun for these guys now.
No, I mean, it hurts. There's no question about it. I have not been around a whole lot, but I've been around the last 3 days, and you can just see like. An analogy of a balloon that's full, and then all of a sudden something happens early, and that the little pin gets in there, and you kind of fizzles a little bit, and that's what happens when you're losing. And the home record is really, and listening to Gardy, it really you're supposed to take care of your home turf, so to speak, and then obviously on the road it's a little more difficult. And we're 2-20 in our last 22 at home. That hurts, and Gardy feels that, and they're trying to everything they can. I mean, I think most of the time, fans are thinking when you're playing poorly, like you're not doing anything. I was out there the last 3 days. Yesterday was a day game. The first 2 days, you had most of the guys out there for early work, early hitting, PFP, outfield play, infield play. They're working on things, but unfortunately, when the game starts, the game speeds up. And they're not quite there yet. That's obvious. But neither were we. And let's just go back to the 84 team. It was in my seventh year when we won.
Right.
So I'm just kind of using that as for people to understand how difficult it is.
Real quick, you happy with your Lakers? Anthony Davis?
Well, I kind of went off the bandwagon for a few years, Tony. But,
I know, deep down,
I'm going back to the Jerry West and the Chamberlain and Gail Goodrich and Elgin Baylor.
Because I remember when the Bad Boys versus the Lakers, you were always conflicted.
Then that was the magic time, and obviously he's a Michigander. But you know what? I'm looking at it very closely. I know they just moved some players yesterday to create a little cap space, so I'm following this, and so I'll be curious. Like a lot of fans, will see, who they come up with. But I'm still a Piston fan as well. I've always been in my boys who now obviously we're back in California. They've kept their ties with the Michigan teams. They're still Michigan fans in all the sports, and I'm proud of that. I'm glad that they are.
Well, it's great to have you here. Again, a reminder, Tram and Lou Whitaker, Alan Trammell will be at the Big Cat Court tonight at 5:45 for a Q&A with our friend Dan Leach. So get down early for that before the Tigers take on the Nats tonight at 7:10. Then tomorrow at 4:10, gates open at 2 o'clock. Sparky Anderson bobblehead. Alan Trammell will be signing autographs at the D Shop tomorrow from 10 to 12. So all sorts of festivities going on. Tram, I think you know how the fans feel about you, how we feel about you. It's an honor to have you here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jamie. Stoney, thanks. Always a pleasure.
Great seeing you.
All thank right, you. There he is, the great Alan Trammell, the Hall of Famer here on 97.1 The Ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.